How are you this morning? It's time to rejoice. In Philippians 4, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Are you okay?
I'm just going to be 3 seconds here.
The parasha for this Shabbat is in Deuteronomy chapter 32. It is entitled Hazino, just like Abby said. From the Hebrew word uzen, means ear. Hazino means give ear. It opens this way in verse 1, give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak. Don't you know that Moses was a songwriter? This parasha is comprised of a song that Moses wrote according to God's command. Amen. So, this parasha is comprised of a song that Moses wrote according to God's command. A song which has to be read aloud before Israel. And the words are strikingly similar to those which could be spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Words of warning, judgment against Israel. In Isaiah 1, 2 said, O heavens, and hear, O earth. For the Lord speak, sons I have reared and brought up, but they rebelled against me. And music has always been an important component of the worship offered to God. We may recall that shortly after the Exodus from Egypt, Moses and Miriam sang a song to the Lord, declaring his might and victory over oppressor. And what is the nature of this song? It begins by describing God's loving kindness, faithfulness toward Israel, and it ends with the promise of vengeance, redemption, and atonement of God's land people. That's why he said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servant and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people. My message this morning is about a time of rejoicing. A time of rejoicing. We have a successful services during Yom Kippur. It's time of mourning, but this time is a time of rejoicing. It's not only the people of Israel who will rejoice with this final redemption. Even us, Gentiles, we rejoice together with God's people. Because God's salvation is for all the people. Every tongue, every race, or every tribe, every race, ethnic background, all people, Jews or Gentiles, can rejoice together in unity at the goodness of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the love, strength, and peace that you've given unto us. Father, teach us how to turn unto you so that our thoughts may be your thoughts, Lord. Our thoughts may be our thoughts, Lord, from you, even our ways. Heavenly Father, help us to rejoice no matter what. Thank you, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes, because of the situation, it's easy to be carried away and lost our joy. Our joy in the Lord. Our news is filled with words of relate to crisis, lockdown, even confusion. However, the Bible points us to a different focus. We are called to embrace a higher perspective. The Bible actually teaches us and reminds us that God enjoys us. When created us, He really enjoys. He looks down over humanity and He enjoys some of us more than others, according to Isaiah 65, verse 19. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, in joy in my people. In Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Abiding joy should be our aim. It should be the goal of every believer. The joy we speak is not dependent on the situation. The joy is driven by the power of Yeshua. John 17:13 says, "These things I have spoken unto you," He said, "that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." God wants His joy to be our joy, right? He wants us to experience the joy in heaven, even while we are still in this earth. And the Bible describes that His own joy tells us that God not only wants us to be joyful, He commands us to be joyful. That's why in Philippians said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. But what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord always? Do you know the situation of Paul when he wrote this to Thessalonica or Philippos? He was in prison. Maybe he close to die. But he is the guest to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." That's why when Paul writing this letter to the believers, he said, "Rejoice always." And do you know that joy is present in every major event that we experience as believer? Let me ask you a question. How do you feel when you accept Yeshua as your Lord and Savior? There's overflowing joy, right? There's an overflowing joy. That's why the Bible says when a person's saved, there must be a rejoicing. Don't you know that when a person surrenders his life to Yeshua, God make a party in heaven? Open your Bible in Luke 15, verse 10. In Luke 15, verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Through this verse, there is rejoicing happening in heaven when a person surrenders their life or surrender his or her life to Yeshua. So every time somebody surrenders his life to Yeshua, they're rejoicing in heaven. The angels are rejoicing. That's why God wants us also to be rejoiced when somebody accepts Yeshua as their Lord and Savior. So if you are feeling down, sad, or maybe a little discouraged, it's a normal. Right? It's a normal. It is the human side that is carried away by the situation. However, we have hope. We are called to embrace another view. Choose to keep hoping, to keep dreaming, and to keep rejoicing. But what if? What if you don't feel like rejoicing in the Lord? Well, especially in our present status of life, it can be hard to rejoice in the Lord when there's pain, right? How can you rejoice if you are in pain? How can you rejoice if you are having a lot of struggle, sadness all around us? How can you enjoy worshiping God with mass, right? But the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Because our joy is not depend on the situation. It is depend on our obedience to Yeshua. That's why in John 17 says, He gave His joy to us. That's why when you feel sadness, struggle, pain, depressed, or whatever you feel, you can still rejoice. You know what? In Philippians 4, 6, verse 7, it says that we are not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we need to present our request to Adonai, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart, minds, through Yeshua. That's why Paul reminds us that when we rejoice in the Lord, we begin to feel peace in our situation. We begin to feel peace in our hearts, in our mind. Because we understand that God heard our prayer requests or our prayer. Though sometimes it takes a long to wait for the answers. But that is the promise of God. We just present our prayer request to Him. He will answer it. What if we presented with the situation of simply not rejoicing? As if the plant line of our life was just a series of rising action. Problems upon problems. Virus upon virus until now. It's not stopping. So why we don't think about the time? When you feel you are discouraged, when you feel not to rejoice, why don't you remember, go back the first time you accept Yeshua as your Lord and Savior. Go back to those answered prayer that God given unto us. And for sure, it make us and help us to rejoice. Amen? So despite the trials we face, our option is to fill our hearts with joy. Though sometimes the greatest obstacle to rejoice is what? The condition of our heart. If our heart is having a good, right relationship with God, no matter what, we can still rejoice in His presence. I also believe that we are not to be discouraged when things are not what we expected them to be. At least, not at the moment. But therefore, it's necessary to have a heart that always appreciates God in every situation. How can we rejoice? Why do we need to rejoice? You know what? Why? Rejoice in the Lord because we are forgiven. Isn't it that we need to rejoice because we are forgiven by Yeshua? The Bible says that God not only forgives our sin when we repent and trust Adonai for our salvation, but He also, what? Forget. Right? Forget. The Bible says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more. He's not only forgiving our sin, He said, He forget. It does not mean that he's a dementia. He's demented. No. Right? Because only the dementia people is forgetfulness. But in Isaiah 43:25, even I am he who blots out your transgression for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. Even in Hebrew, He explained how Yeshua sacrificed on the cross for sin once for all. That's why there is a reason why we need to rejoice. There is a reason why we need to rejoice. This passage makes it evident that God does not remember our sin. However, God's not remembering is not what we usually think as a forgetfulness, but God is omniscience God. He knows everything and He forgets nothing. However, He can choose not to remember something. How about us? How about us? In human relationship, we can choose to remember the offenses someone has committed against us, or we can choose to forget. To forgive somebody is so painful, right? Especially if there's some scars that stay there. But forgiveness prevents us from dwelling on past troubles. Problems, always there. So we need to try to remember how God is good to our lives. Because in Romans said, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Yeshua. In Romans 8:31-39 is a beautiful discourse on our security in God. Sin has no say in our standing with God. We are fully accepted and declared righteous in Him. God does not remember our sin in the way He treats us. Instead, He treats us as a righteous. Not only this, my brothers and sisters. We are God forgiven because of that forgiveness, we become a child of God. We become a child of God. And John 15:15 says, I no longer call you a servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you a friend. Okay? You are become children of God. And then we are a friend of God. Isn't it amazing? So we need to be rejoiced. We are children of God. We are friends of God. What else? 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. God called us a special people. If somebody said to you that, oh, you're special people in my heart, so how do you feel? You're so happy, right? Why? Because you are special on his heart. This is what Yeshua said. You are my child. You are my friend. You are special people. Now, he said, you are my workmanship. That's why here, we are all workmanship of Yeshua according to Ephesians 2 verse 10. But the question, what makes us rejoice, my brothers and sisters? What makes you rejoice? Lots of money? Lots of achievement or accomplishment in life? Or when we find the pleasure in gossiping or judging or criticizing or hurting others? That's the way you rejoice? That's the way we make you rejoice? Or when we see our brothers and sisters fail? How about when our pride gets to our head and we are all of a sudden better, smarter, and wiser than everyone else? These people create a huge burden to the community of the believers. Why? Because they create division. They create disunity in the congregation. That's the thing that God doesn't want us to see in his congregation. Let us be honest to ourselves. Stop pretending. Take off your disguise. We don't need to impress our rabbi, our leaders. We don't need to impress anyone. God knows our heart. Everything you do, God knows. In Matthew 7:5 says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Even we believers, sometimes we are used to point somebody else, right? Oh, it's his fault. Oh, because of him. Only one? How about the three pointing on you? Right? So, brothers and sisters, stop pretending. Be honest to yourself. Be who you are. Right? Because that's God is looking for us. When Yeshua was the feet of his disciples, Peter hesitantly asked, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Then Yeshua said, yes. No. Then Yeshua explained to him why. Then suddenly Peter realized that he need to be washed by Yeshua. Meaning, unless we don't really know what is our standing as a believers in Yeshua, our responsibility in Yeshua, we just like Peter. We don't want to be washed. But once we know it, again, Peter said, okay, not only my feet, Lord, my whole body. Peter felt he was unfit to be served by a man he knew to be the Son of God. Yeshua called Peter blessed because he had been shown about Yeshua identity. Peter, he becomes sensitive and he saw how Yeshua show a good example to them, his humbleness, humility. That's why, brothers and sisters, you must rejoice because you are forgiven. We are forgiven. Amen? We must rejoice. When you read Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 24, you can see how those disciples rejoice in Yeshua. Because this joy is Yeshua's joy. The joy is the life of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach being lived out inside of you. And Peter called it a joy inexpressible and full of glory. And one thing that all of us share as we take this journey together with humanity is that nothing we get involved with ever seems so last, but the joy of Adonai, which we speak today, is never ending. Right? So, why we rejoice? Because we are forgiven. Why we rejoice? Luke 10, 20. Your name is written in heaven. Right? So we need to rejoice because our name is written in heaven. Luke 10:20 says here, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Our name is written in heaven. Like the 72 disciples here, we must be on guard that any success we may experience in the gospel is not something we accomplished by something to God has done. So what I mean is that they are rejoicing. Not because they just perform miracle, they just do a lot of things for Yeshua. They rejoice because their name is written in heaven. That's why we need to continue rejoicing in God's presence. Yeshua was also rejoicing because, as he said, he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Satan's stronghold and kingdom is over. Eventually, in the last days, Yeshua will reign completely and Satan's effects will end. And the little mission trip was the proof that the gospel will triumph and Satan is defeated. That's why, let us rejoice. Our name is written in heaven. Even in the face of tragedy, inexplicable mental anguish, personal suffering, there is always joy comes within. Because it always reminds us, it's always remind us that God cares for us. It always reminds us that our name written in heaven. No matter where we go, no matter who we face, no matter what circumstances we are in, know that we are going there as a member of Yeshua. And our name written in heaven. So there is something for us that we need to be rejoiced. This where our great joy is to be found in Yeshua. Rejoicing is something that others will notice and they will know, want to know why. As my short testimony, at work, I said, "Oh, Jerry, you're always smiling. It looks like you don't have problem." "Oh, problems? We have a lot. But I have a secret. Oh, what's that secret? You know what? If you have, of course, they don't know Yeshua. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, whatever problem you have, whatever trials you have, the joy of the Lord is still there. Because the joy that we have is not depend on the circumstances. It's not depend on the situation you have. It depends in your relationship to Yeshua. Amen? Amen. Amen. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. There's a saying that, there is joy, the flag in the castle of my heart. I forgot that song. So that's why we need always to remember every smile you offer to your friends or nobody else is a big impact to their lives. And they want to know what is your secret. And they want to know, in spite of this pandemic, you can still smile. You can still laugh. That's the time we can introduce Yeshua. Your smile, your countenance open the door for you to share your testimony of what Yeshua has done for you and will do for all those that will come to Him and place their trust in Him. We're not only rejoicing because we are forgiven. We're not only rejoicing because our name is written in heaven. We rejoice because for having an intimate connection to Yeshua. Right? We have intimate relationship to Yeshua according to Luke 10, verse 23 and 24. I want to read it. Luke 10:23-24. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you are seeing, yet did not see, and to hear what you hear, what you are hearing, you did not hear." Rabbi Cal mentioned about this last week. As a good shepherd, the good relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Right? The sheep know the voice of their shepherd. When we have connection to the Father, we have also unlimited access to Him. We are His people, but we are also the sheep of His pasture. Again, there is a connection or relationship because we are His sheep and He is our good shepherd. That's why King David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The other thing about sheep is that they need a shepherd. Sheep are totally defenseless. They cannot take care of themselves. They need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. So we have to realize that we are sheep in the needs of a shepherd, which is Yeshua, our shepherd. Our leaders are, they are instrument for us. Right? They are not perfect. We are not perfect. Yeshua is the perfect one. Me? I have a lot of weakness. I'm not a good example, but Yeshua make me a good example. Why? Because I serve Yeshua. I surrender my life to Him. So, brothers and sisters, as John 10:10 said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Don't let the enemy snuff out the word of God that you are hearing right now. Don't let the enemy take out the joy that you have right now. Because if you allow the enemy to take out or snap out your joy that God give it to you, you will be a loser. Right? Because we are forgiven. Our name written in heaven. Now, God's not yet done. He said, He give us the intimate connection to Him. And today, Yeshua proved He was the good shepherd when He died on the cross for our sin. And now, when we turn to the risen Yeshua and trust Him as our Savior and Lord. Because He made us and not ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pastures. So believers, rejoice over our connection with God. I think we can all agree that God had something pretty good connection with some Bible characters, Moses, Isaac, Abraham. But the question is, how and why? Why were they chosen to have a really good connection with God? Does God have a favorite? Maybe us, we have. But God doesn't show favoritism. I thought that He received everyone equally. Hear me out. God may not have a favorite, but He does have intimates. Some people have connection with God in a way that others do not. Let us look. Noah, Daniel, and Job. All three men were noted for their righteousness, which is why God picked them up for a special mention. Noah delivered his own family from God's judgment. Daniel delivered his friends from the lion's den. And Job lost even his children during his trial. But in a rate, God mentioned four times that in the present situation, these three could only deliver themselves. That's why Genesis says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. It's referring to his conduct. Because Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, through faith, he had a right standing with God, which now revealed itself in his right conduct. So Noah walked with God. That's why he had an intimate connection with God. When John and me coming to our shul, we are talking about our relationship to Yeshua. And then, how come he said that there are some people, they don't really honest to themselves. They know that that is not the will of God, or still they pursue it. And then I said, you know what, John? I experienced what you had experienced. Way back home, I said, I went to a prayer mountain just to pray and fasting for a long period. I went to the registration, I have an interview, everything. And then, okay, are you ready now to start your prayer? Of course. I will pack up my things. I will focus on my room. The first day when I go to the prayer shawl, because in Prayer Mountain, there's a small room for you to pray. Word that I heard and say, do you think I am happy of what you are doing? I was shocked. I start praying, and then suddenly, do you think I'm happy of what you're doing? This is the story. Because I have invaded that. How come those people, when he was, when they are laying their hands, they are, what do you call that? Fall down. You can see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit among them. I want also to be like them. Wrong motive. That's why when I went to that prayer room, right away, God rebuked me. Brothers and sisters, if you're honest to yourself, you can hear the voice of God. You can hear the voice of God. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Daniel is blameless, faithful during his time. Job is faithful, blameless in his time. They are walk with God. They have faith in God, the obedience to God. They have integrity to God. And they are standing alone with God. And lastly, they have a fellowship with God. Righteous people intercede on behalf of others. Right? If it is interesting that while the Bible often says that God spoke to Noah, and there is no record that Noah is praying, but the Bible is silent, right? How come there are some people that they are really used by God? How come when Elijah asked for fire, right away God sent fire? How about me? I'm praying for a long time. He's not listening, right? How come he just prayed last week that God bless him, or he just asked something? In me, it's been a year, 15 years or 20 years. He didn't answer my prayer. The question is, are you in right relationship with God? Are you connecting? Do you have a connection to Yeshua? People are rejoicing, but you like that. Why? Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be joyful. We know that God is both just and merciful. That's why he said in Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. One of the great things people tell me, of course, I'm ushering there. When they come here, especially those visitors, oh, you know what? Your congregation is, I like it. There's a lot of rejoicing here. So much rejoicing in your congregation. Isn't it that what it should be? If you have Yeshua in your heart, the joy that is in you will be a contagious to others. If the pandemic, if the virus is contagious, make the joyful, make the joy of God in us be a contagious also. Right? We need to be, how do you call that? Influence others by the power of Yeshua. God infected with the joy that comes from Yeshua. That's why rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So, to sum it all, we must rejoice because we are forgiven. We must rejoice because our name written in heaven. We must rejoice because we have intimate connection with Yeshua. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words today. Yes, it is hard to rejoice when you felt so unwell, in pain, in struggle, especially nowadays. But Lord, you said that our joy is not depend on the circumstances. It's not depend on the situation. It depends on you, God. Depends, Lord, our obedience to you. Lord, help us to be joyful no matter what. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen.